Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Lutheran Inquisitor, examining pressing issues and their ramifications for the church today.
Hello and welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor. I'm your host, John Ehlers. I'm pastor of Christ Lutheran Church in Orpington, Kent, a southeastern suburb of London. I'd like to invite you along to attend one of our services. We meet each Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. for the Divine Service and each Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Vespers. I also work with the Reina Mission in the Medway Towns. We meet the first Sunday of each month at 3 p.m. And again, you would be most welcome to join us. I'm vacancy pastor for St. Columba Lutheran Church in East Kilbride, Scotland, and work with their mission over in Edinburgh as well. So please, if you live in the Glasgow area or the Edinburgh area, come and check us out. I know that you will receive a very warm welcome. I'd like to thank you as well for your prayerful and your financial support of Lutheran Radio UK, because without your prayers and without your generous gifts, we wouldn't be able to carry on this ministry. So we are deeply grateful to you for your prayers and for your gifts. Today, we welcome Kendall Davis. He is a PhD student at the University of Edinburgh, and Kendall also helps with service, taking services at St. Columba and the Edinburgh Mission about once a month, so we deeply appreciate that as well. Kendall recently gave a paper at a New Testament conference in Jerusalem, and we've invited him to talk to us about that. The paper's title is Christological Titles. What are they good for? Kendall, welcome to the Lutheran Inquisitor.
It's great to be here, John.
Now, the title of your paper, Christological Titles, what are they good for? I suppose some of our folks might wonder, what do you mean by Christological, and how would you define that term?
Yeah. So Christological is a theological term of art, and it basically just means roughly what it sounds like. Christology is the study of Christ, the study of Jesus. And in what I do as a student of the New Testament, when I talk about something being Christological, I mean that it has something to do with the identity and mission of Jesus. So Christology is just what we can say about who Jesus is and what he's doing, how he fits into God's work of salvation. And when I talk about titles, I'm referring to those terms in the New Testament. You'll notice things like Lord, Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, things like this. And when I say they're titles, I mean they're a kind of a general phenomenon where we use words to refer to people. So like king, prime minister, pastor. And when we use titles, then we kind of tap into these broader associations or assumptions about the way the world works, or with text. So like when we call Jesus Son of Man, that's often read as a reference to Daniel. And so these titles are an important way that the New Testament talks about who Jesus is and what he's about. And that's what my paper is looking at.
Yes, and you begin your paper by looking at several sort of 20th century New Testament scholars, because they really seem to emphasize the titles that are assigned to Jesus. But you note that they have a number of presuppositions that create several problems in their study. So can you tell us what they did and why these presuppositions created the problems?
Yeah, absolutely. So these scholars are especially really early 20th century. So we're talking 1910s, 1920s, into the 30s. Wilhelm Bousset, kind of one of the main ones that I talked about. And these people were part of a movement that was sometimes called the History of Religions School. And their basic assumption was that they could sort of get behind the New Testament and then reconstruct how Christian thought developed. They're assuming that the New Testament writings are kind of written towards the latter half of the first century. And so there's these several decades where they're assuming Christian thought is developing. And they think they can get behind the text and kind of reconstruct that development. And they were particularly interested in the way that they thought Christians borrowed certain religious traditions or ideas from other religions, whether that was Judaism or Greco-Roman religion. And so they thought they could see this kind of borrowing of different ideas. And so that was their approach. And they thought titles were really interesting, because they thought titles kind of gave them a window into this earlier stage of development behind the New Testament. And they kind of used them as almost like a fossil record, kind of hidden in the New Testament. That was their approach. There's a lot of problems with it, I think, that we can talk about. But that's basically what kind of these scholars at the beginning of the 20th century, that's what they were doing, what they were up to.
So what you're telling us is that a number of these titles like Lord and Christ and Son of David, Son of Man, these aren't invented by the apostles or Jesus himself, but these were already there, and that's what they were focusing on?
Yeah, no, that's a good point. So, I mean, words like Lord, I mean, we think of Lord as a particularly religious word, but the Greek word, kurios, Lord, was just a standard word in general usage. We'll probably talk about it a little later, but I mean, you would call, you would use the word kurios, Lord, the same way we might use sir or mister sometimes. So yeah, so a lot of these words were in very general usage. And so it makes some sense too as well what they're doing, insofar as Christians are using kind of words that were used in other contexts to talk about Jesus.
And you mentioned that there's almost an evolutionary process that they're doing. You're looking for the fossil records. So they think that if they dig deep enough, they'll see how Christianity developed, as I understand it, over almost hundreds of years, not just a few years. And is that a problem?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that that use of that word evolutionary is really key. So I mean, if you think back historically, there, at the early 20th century, I mean, Darwin kind of had made his big splash not that long before, you know, relatively speaking. So kind of they have this assumption that things always develop in this kind of evolutionary, kind of piecewise way. So that's just kind of a starting assumption, for them. And some of the issues though with that approach, one would be that this kind of assumes oftentimes that what is earlier is somehow pure or better. So sometimes that's what they're doing is they thought that if they could get back to kind of the earliest version of Christian thought, that was somehow the purest form, the least corrupted by Greek thought or Jewish thought or kind of whatever they were trying to kind of get rid of. But then another problem is that they're often very overconfident in their ability to reconstruct how people talked about Jesus in the years prior to the New Testament. It's a period, like if we're talking about the 30s, the 40s, we don't have texts from that period. But they really believe that they could kind of reconstruct it. And I think that in a lot of ways, scholars would recognize that these early 20th century scholars were way overconfident in their ability to reconstruct these sorts.
And then you kind of go on to three later 20th century scholars who point this out. They try to correct a number of these problems, yet in doing so, they create their own problems. And you mentioned two of the basic problems they have is that they don't even understand titles. And secondly, that their approaches fail to deal adequately with New Testament Christology overall. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, so when I talk about kind of this very titles-focused approach develops in the mid-20th century, you had these scholars and they would write these big books, you know, called like New Testament Christology. And then the book would just go through all the different titles for Jesus and how it, you know, allegedly developed over, you know, the first and second centuries. And so one of the problems is, of course, that they misunderstand what's going on with titles. And the primary thing that I have in mind there is that they assume that a title like Lord or Christ is the same thing as a concept. So there's this blurring between titles and concepts. And we'll get more into kind of what that means and why it's important. But the issue here is basically that this isn't necessarily how words work. So a good example that we've talked about is Lord already. So Lord, our readers will know, is a really common term that's used to talk about God in the Old Testament, that the divine name Yahweh is translated as Lord. And that's true for the Greek Bible as well. It was translated as Kyrios, or Lord. And so when a New Testament writer is using the term Lord to talk about Jesus, it has that kind of a reference. But then it also can, the word kurios can be used to refer to all kinds of other things. Somebody who owns a slave master was called a kurios. You would also use kurios as just a way to greet someone, the same way we might say sir or mister. So words don't necessarily map precisely onto concepts the way that a lot of these scholars assume. So that was a problem. Another problem was the way that they kind of failed to deal with New Testament Christology in a more general sense is that Christology, as we've talked about, is kind of talking about who Jesus is, what he's about. But they were assuming that Christology was kind of merely a matter of kind of applying these ideas, these terms to Jesus. So this kind of very kind of intellectualist kind of approach to Christology. That Christology is just asserting things about Jesus. It kind of turns it almost into math sometimes. But that, you know, we recognize that when the Holy Spirit inspired the New Testament writers to write what they did, they wrote stories. They wrote, you know, poems. That part of Christology is also that we would be driven to wonder, and that we would be could behold the mystery of the incarnation. And that mystery is actually part of the presentation. You know, you think of the story in the Gospels where Jesus calms the storm, and the disciples are driven to ask, "Who is this?" The gospel writer could have, you know, just said that, you know, and they realized that Jesus was God or something like that. But that process of wonder is actually part of the intention of the Spirit in kind of guiding us into realizing who Jesus is. That's part of the story.
And these titles help us realize that. And I suppose, well, that does beg the question, doesn't it? You know, you talk about the problems that these folks encountered with emphasizing titles. So what is the proper way we should look at these titles of Jesus without making, you know, without trying to avoid going off one end or the other? I mean, are they worth our effort and time? And I'm guessing you would say yes, because you've written this paper, but how can they help us understand who Jesus is, the wonder, but anything else?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And to be sure, I think as you get into the later 20th century, I think a lot of scholars realize that, you know, a lot of this went too far, kind of there were all kinds of issues. And so a lot of scholars working with Christology have kind of moved away from titles. And part of what I'm doing is trying to re-pick up a focus and an attention on titles, because I do think that titles are a really important way that the New Testament talks about who Jesus is. I mean, you think about, there's the scene in all of the synoptics where Jesus asks the disciples, you know, who do people say that I am? And they give them some answers. You know, some say you're Elijah, some say you're John the Baptist. And then he asks them, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you know, you're the Christ, or you're the Christ of God. And so this is how Peter expresses it. He expresses who Jesus is with a title. And that kind of a pattern is really common throughout the New Testament, especially the Gospels. And so if we want to understand what the New Testament has to say about Jesus, we've got to understand titles. There are problems with how we can do it, but they're such a key part of how these texts communicate about Jesus, that we've got to pay attention to them if we want to understand what they had to say.
And in your paper, you advocate reading the New Testament and these titles with a literary approach. But what do you mean by that? And how is that different from the approaches others in the 20th century used?
Yeah. So when I say a literary approach, I mean a literary approach, mostly in contrast to a historical approach. So the scholars that I've been talking about kind of are using the New Testament as kind of raw material, but they're not interested in reading what Luke has to say or what John has to say. They're interested in using this as kind of something they can get behind, right? And so when I say it's a literary approach, I mean that I'm interested in these texts for what they have to say, because I believe that the Spirit inspired these writers to write down what they did. And so I'm interested in what they wrote. I'm not interested in using these texts to get behind them for some other purpose. some kind of historical reconstruction. I'm interested in what these texts have to say. And so that means that when the Spirit inspires these writers to write narratives, well, then I need to read it as a narrative. When the Spirit inspires writers to write poems or proverbs or some other kind of genre of literature, then I need to read those texts as a poem, as a proverb. And in doing that, I'm faithful to the work of the Spirit and the work of the Spirit through these particular writers.
And you talk about this literary approach, but some might say, okay, that makes perfect sense, except there are lots of literary devices and titles are only one of them. So how is a title different, say, from a metaphor or a hyperbole or an anthropomorphism or you name it? Is there a distinction and is it important?
Yeah. So I think when I identify titles as a literary device, I do that to say that it's a particular strategy that these authors are using to tell their story and to talk about this central figure in their narratives, which is Jesus. There's differences with metaphors and hyperboles and anthropomorphisms and that sort of thing. All kind of literary devices are different in how they function. But the point of identifying them as a literary device is to kind of help make this contrast between titles and concepts a little bit stronger, so that I'm recognizing this is something that is happening as it functions in the literature. I mean, the New Testament authors didn't have to use titles for Jesus. Almost all the writers of the New Testament do. I think Sir John is the only one that doesn't use any titles, but it's also very short. But the New Testament authors choose to use these titles. And so I'm interested in understanding why do they choose to use titles and why do they choose to use the titles that they do the way that they do to talk about Jesus.
So how might we designate or differentiate is a better word. How would we differentiate a title of Jesus, say, from a metaphor about Jesus? Can you give us an example of perhaps a title and a metaphor and how we differentiate between the two?
Yeah. So for example, a metaphor might be, in Revelation, Jesus is pictured as a lamb. We know Jesus is not a lamb. He's a human being. And so in picturing Jesus as a lamb, he's saying something about identifying Jesus as a sacrifice. There's kind of parallels with the Passover as well. So that would be an example of a metaphor. But then that is different than from, say, calling Jesus Christ or calling Jesus Lord. Sometimes titles can also be metaphors. So when John the Baptist calls Jesus, "Behold the Lamb of God," that is a title, the Lamb of God, but it's also a metaphor. So sometimes they're actually the same thing. But you're right, sometimes they are different as well. It just depends on the particular case and of what sorts of distinctions we're able to make.
And we talk about names. Jesus had a name. The angel said, you'll call him Jesus. Is there a difference between, say, a name? You've talked about John. You've talked about others. Is there a difference between a name and a title? And if so, why is that important?
Yeah. I think this is a good question because names and titles are very similar linguistically, I think, very similar verbal phenomena. And you can see this in the way that titles often become names and names often become titles. Like, for example, Christ is a title. Christ means Messiah or anointed one. But I think most Christians, they kind of think of Christ as being Jesus' last name. And you kind of have to remind people that, you know, Christ was not Jesus' family's name. You know, his mom wasn't Mary Christ. But this is how people kind of hear it. But also names can become titles. You think of Caesar. Caesar was a name of sorts for Julius Caesar, but then Caesar becomes this title. And so titles and names can often go back and forth. I think the main difference that, at least that I'm interested in, is kind of this question of significance. So that for a title, the significance of the title, like Lord, Christ, etc., is more front and center. Whereas for names, whatever meaning or significance they have is kind of much more under the surface. So like Jesus, I think most of the time when we hear Jesus' name in the New Testament, we're not thinking about the fact that, you know, his name literally means the Lord saves. This is pointed out sometimes explicitly at the beginning of Matthew and Matthew's infancy narrative. This is pointed out that his name means the Lord saves. And there might be other places, too, where the meaning of Jesus' name is significant. But usually it's under the surface. It's not as front and center as a title like Christ, like Lord, like Son of Man. So that's the difference.
Okay. You, in your paper, you say that titles are best defined as a literary feature of New Testament texts. It is therefore important to recognize and interpret a title properly for the same reason it is important to be able to properly interpret other literary devices like metaphors, etc. Again, we've talked about titles, but how do we actually identify them? Do we have any keys to doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think that when we're reading along in the New Testament, a lot of the titles will be fairly familiar. So we've talked about some of them, Christ, Lord, Son of Man, Son of David. I think that other things you might look for is kind of, is this something that kind of is regularly used? Is this something, in very kind of common parlance, we might ask, is this a thing? So for example, you see this when John the Baptist begins his ministry in Luke's gospel. The people are wondering, could this be the Christ? And so that shows you that when they say the Christ, they have somebody particular in mind, that Christ here, Messiah, is functioning as a title. We're not just talking about any old anointed person, but there's somebody particular in mind. So similar things happen with Lord. You see Lord is used kind of with Jesus' name, like the Lord Jesus. So it's these kinds of patterns that you can pick up on. And to be sure, there are some instances where it might not always be exactly clear. Like, are we dealing with the title or is this different? So like, for example, when sometimes John the Baptist will call Jesus the coming one, the one who's coming. Is that a title of some kind? Some people would read it as a title, but some people would kind of just see it as a description of Jesus. And so it depends. I think that ultimately kind of being able to put all these things into the different boxes that we have is less important than being able to describe what it is that they're actually doing. So when John the Baptist says that Jesus is the coming one, is he referring to kind of some kind of idea that, you know, everybody else might have had? Well, that's kind of a more important interpretive question than whether or not I say that is a title or not, I think.
So what I'm hearing you kind of say here is actually when they use titles to refer to Jesus, that actually is really distinguishing him from everybody else and saying this guy is different, more important, more significant than others?
Yes, absolutely. So that's what we use titles to do. So if you think about it, when you go to church, there's, you know, usually one guy that you're going to call pastor, you know, Pastor John, etc. Same thing if you're in a classroom, there's one person that you're going to call professor or, you know, doctor so-and-so. So titles often have this function of distinguishing people. We don't give, you know, titles to absolutely everyone, but people who are special, who are distinct in some way. Yes, absolutely.
Okay. Now you give six principles of when you read the New Testament, six principles on how to read properly these titles. Can you tell us, I suppose, how you came up with these principles and why it's important to have principles to understand a proper reading of titles and quite frankly, a proper literary reading of the New Testament?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think this is a good opportunity to kind of say that kind of in this paper and this article, I'm hoping to kind of work on getting it published with a journal. Kind of this writing that I have in mind is kind of not necessarily aimed to be read by the average Bible reader, although, you know, somebody might find it really interesting and helpful. Maybe even not necessarily pastors, but what I'm doing here is really aimed at, you know, the sorts of people who might be writing, you know, the commentaries that pastors would then read. So a lot of what I'm talking about is kind of several steps removed, kind of from where the average Bible reader is kind of thinking about and the questions that they're asking. And so these principles are kind of very much very methodological, kind of very several steps back from kind of actually talking about what does this title mean, what does that title mean. But it's kind of stuff that I've noticed as I've begun my own research. I'm working with the title Messiah or Christ in Lutheran Acts. And so just a lot of things that I've noticed kind of as I observe scholars work with titles in New Testament texts, especially Gospels, because that's kind of where my area is. And so in having these kind of principles, I call them rules of thumb. I mean, I really just kind of sat down and started to list out the things that I wanted to say, and it happened to come out to six. It would have been really nice if I could have made it seven. That would be a nice round number. Maybe we'll see. I can come up with another one. But yeah, it's just, I just want to kind of sketch out this kind of mode of reading titles. And part of it is a way of really just explicating what I mean when I advocate for a literary approach to titles. What I mean in saying that it's important to distinguish titles from concepts. Because that's easy to say as a general principle. But then when you actually get to the business of reading text and reading titles, it can be not always exactly clear what those kinds of more general or vague principles can mean. So these principles, these rules of thumb that I kind of talk about in this latter section of the paper are trying to do that, trying to show people that this is what these ideas will actually mean for reading real New Testament.
Well, we look forward to hearing those six principles, but sadly, we're out of time. Would you come back next week and share those six principles with us and have a chat about that?
I think we can arrange that.
Great stuff. Thanks, Kendall. We invite our listeners to join us next week as well as we carry on this conversation about Christological titles. And again, thank you for listening, and we invite you to join us next week.
Thank you for listening to The Lutheran Inquisitor with Pastor John Ehlers. If you have any questions or comments about the issues raised in this program, send an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. The podcast of this show is available from our website. Check our program online and stay tuned.